It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR, and it's December, of course, one of the last Fridays before Christmas, and we've got some Christmas music to be played here on this edition of Live Music Friday. Lansing-based saxophonist Phil Denny joins us for some Christmas music today. Here's an original from Phil called Radio Flyer. Fresh off an appearance at the legendary Baker's Keyboard Lounge in Detroit just last weekend. Lansing's Phil Denny on saxophone. They're here for Live Music Friday on WKAR's Current State. Phil's got a couple of songs, or he's got a song right now that is doing very well on the charts, on the Billboard Jazz charts, called Diggin' On. And you can also hear it. He's all over the Watercolors channel on Sirius XM as well. So more from Phil Denny coming up here before the hour is through on Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back. A key figure in Michigan government and policy is returning to work at the state capitol after years away. Dan Perot served as chief of staff and campaign manager for three-term Republican Governor John Engler, Altogether, he spent more than 35 years in state government, grassroots organizing, and public affairs. In January, Mr. Perot will become the chief of staff for incoming Speaker of the Michigan House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. A pleasure to welcome Dan Perot to Current State.
Thank you, Mark. It's good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Some number of people with your experience might say, been there, done that, if offered a position like the one you're taking. You didn't. Why not?
Well, it's an opportunity, really, to go back to where I started. You mentioned 30 plus years. I started in the House of Representatives back 41 years ago as a young staff guy before the renovation of the Capitol was done. It was a mess there. Our party was a mess. We had only, I think, 38 members, so working in the minority. Started in constituent relations as a individual who wrote speeches and solved problems for people. And
38 Republicans in the House?
In the House, yeah.
Wow.
We didn't have much say in anything back then. It's interesting that the Speaker's office now, if you go into the Speaker's office, when I started, there was what was called an overfloor there. That is, the beautiful space was divided by another floor. So you took stairs upstairs into another set of offices, and that's where I worked for a couple of years. So it's good to be back. There's a lot going on in this state. I enjoyed the time when I was with Governor Engler. There's important work to be done, and I have an opportunity to do it here as an opportunity to close the circle, so to speak.
Have you continued to follow state government closely in the legislature, or does it require a certain amount of reintroduction to what's going on at the Capitol?
A little bit of reintroduction. I often still make the wrong turn coming out of the elevator in terms of looking for the offices, so I've learned that north and west is where I need to go. But the chamber's the same. The players are all different, I mean, with term limits, so there's really no one there that would have been there when I served with Governor Engler. They've all moved on, mm-hmm. and so they're new people. But, you know, the thing that strikes me, the similarity, is that they all care just as much. And it doesn't matter if they've got an R by their name or a D. They care about the state of Michigan. They want to do the right thing. The differences exist in terms of how to get there. And with Tom Leonard as our new speaker coming in, this is an individual who I've come to know over the last year. He's one who believes in reaching out. He believes he's got a tremendous civility about him. So I think you're going to see a very civil 2 years with him in leadership. And I think with the team he's built around him, you're going to see a lot get done.
I'm wondering if you'll confirm or deny something that we've heard from a reliable source, but one that needs to remain unnamed, namely that Mr. Leonard's interested in becoming Attorney General someday and that part of your charge is to help him in a way that would enhance that possibility. What can you tell us?
Well, I tend to work on unreliable and public sources, so I think that's a question you ought to ask to Tom. I've been brought in what I was asked to do is come in and lead a terrific staff, good policy staff, good legislative staff, good communications people. We got over 20 new members coming in to try to provide some sense of history, perhaps, of some ideas that I've had that I've been around longer than everybody else, to sort of help sort of Tom lead that area. And so my focus is on him being the best speaker he can be.
You're kind of an antidote to term limits, really, in a way.
Oh,
is
maybe.
Is it fair to look at it that way?
I left as term limits was coming in. Yeah. And I remember, you know, I was there from 91 to 94. People voted in 94 to bring term limits in. And, of course, we've seen the good and the bad of that.
The big news today, and again, I know you've got to get up to speed here on a number of policy things, but the big news today is energy policy. It's still got legs. They managed to pass this at the 11th hour. It preserves the electric choice market but would bump the renewable percentage up. Do you follow that closely enough to have any thoughts on that?
Well, what I followed was the process here, and I think that kudos to Governor Snyder for his willingness to come in and strike a compromise that everyone was able to live with. I think that he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think for all of those who may have put aside their own politics to look at what was the best long-term interest of the state, I mean, it passed with over 70 votes. That's a tribute to the hard work of folks on both sides that compromised, those for choice, that had other issues, and they came together to do what's really what's best. And I think what people are looking for here was what's the answer we're going to have to meet capacity issues in the future? We've got a lot of plants, energy-producing entities that are closing. And the strong feeling is that this bill will help do that. It'll help conserve choice. And hopefully it'll keep rates steady and so people don't have to, you know, see their electric bills, go up as we build these new facilities. And we're going to need new facilities. And you take one offline, okay, but you take two, three, four, five offline, you got to look, where are we going to get the capacity to make sure we don't go dark, particularly in this five below winter we're about to experience this next couple of days.
Dan Perot is my guest. Mr. Perot is a longtime Michigan government and policy professional, former chief of staff for Governor John Engler. He returns to the state capitol next year as chief of staff for incoming Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. Governor Snyder's Infrastructure Commission says it would take, if memory serves, $4 billion a year for some number of years to get 20, I think, to get the state's roads, bridges, and so on where, arguably, they ought to be. How big a deal is infrastructure? How big a deal do you think it'll be next session?
Well, I think infrastructure is going to be a big issue. Of course, President-elect Trump has indicated that one of his priorities is going to be on fixing the infrastructure in this country. He's indicated he would envision having to spend about $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. But we have a lot of problems. And so I think what you're going to see, perhaps, is sort of a wait-and-see attitude to see what happens in Washington. If legislation's passed there, what's the impact on the states? How do we work with that? And then, but I do believe here that folks, again, Democrat and Republican, recognize that we do have infrastructure problems. We have water systems that are built at the turn of the century that need to be repaired. We got bridges. We got roads that need to be fixed. We've seen in Flint just what happened there with their water lines that were put in decades ago with lead. And what happened here in Lansing, fortunately here in Lansing, we had the resources to get all that out of the ground and fix that problem before it really became serious. So, yeah, we've got serious issues. What's going to be the challenge, Mark, is for those that we recognize we've got that issue, it always comes down to the money. Mm-hmm. And how much money do we have?
And if that's a mountain of money.
It's a mountain of money. And if we're going to invest here, then we're going to pull something else somewhere else. Because I also think, at least, the Republicans understand we don't want to be raising taxes on people. People are paying enough. So they're looking for ways that we can cut taxes, spur the economy, get more money in that way, and then use that to pay for the repairs that we need. That's what President-elect Trump's looking to do, and I'm sure that'll be one of the first things that we would look at here.
Would you be supportive of Bill Schuette for governor in 2018?
I know Bill. I've known Bill a long time, but again, my job is to work in the House, and no one cares what I think.
I beg to differ. But Donald Trump is the first Republican candidate to take Michigan since 1988. What's your takeaway from that?
I'm so excited. I'm excited for our country. I'm excited what this means for Michigan. I'm so excited for Ronna Romney, who helped steer us there. I remember my wife was the Michigan manager for George Bush in 92, and that was a disappointing time for all of us. I think that President Trump understands what's going on and the kitchen table issues in this country, particularly here in Michigan. His work about and ideas to sort of, I guess, turbocharge the manufacturing industry again and to create jobs here is important. Michigan's a state that makes things, and we've always made things. We're the arsenal of democracy. Donald Trump got that. The election's over. Now we got to focus on moving ahead. And I think Tom Leonard understands that too, which is why one of his focus points in Governor Snyder's on the skilled trades. Skilled trades, those are the folks, the men and women that make stuff. And that's what makes Michigan special.
Unlike 1975, there are lots of Republican governors these days, lots of Republican state legislatures. Now, success at the federal level. You mentioned Betsy DeVos and Ronna Romney McDaniel, Michigan residents who are both playing big roles nationally here now. What accounts, broadly, from 10 miles up, Dan Perot, what accounts for the rising electoral success of the GOP?
We're where the people are at. We understand the ache that people feel. We understand what they're looking for is jobs, economic security, national security. They want their families safe. They want to be able to focus on their issues, kitchen table issues, their budgets. And the Republican Party, whether it's been in Indiana or Michigan or through the swaths of states in the South, county by county, state legislature by state legislature, we get that. We want less government. We want people to run their own lives. Yeah, that's something we've been talking about for a long time, but it's why we're where we're at. You look at that electoral map, and you look at the red versus the blue, that sort of spells it out. And the Republican Party, with Paul Ryan as Speaker and Mitch McConnell and now President Trump leading the way, and all of these governors, Governor Snyder here, they understand that. And believe me, if we were missing the mark, we wouldn't be where we're at. But we aren't. We're on target with less taxes, less regulation, poor growth. And that's why we're a strong party, and we'll continue to be a strong party. Because I don't see anything that the Democrats are offering nationally or in Michigan that would align them with any policy that would put them in the majority.
Donald Trump has been in the news almost constantly, often for comments that millions of Americans consider outrageous or offensive or untrue. I could pick from a dozen. Have any of those episodes tested your support for him?
Well, you know, he said some things that were pretty goofy, but I have to look beyond that.
It's worse than goofy, isn't it?
Well, but we had two choices. We're all flawed people, and the choice was Donald Trump, who offered economic growth, a stronger economy, stronger national security, or Hillary Clinton, who was a proven liar, and who was wrong on foreign policy time after time after time, who offered nothing to the American people. But it makes no sense to go back and rejudicate that. Now we got to look to the future. The American people rejected her. Her popular vote margin primarily came out of California. And now you see California wants to be their own nation, so that sort of tells you where they're at. And so I think that, President Trump, we're about looking forward now, Mark. The election's over.
He is renowned for his tweets, and you are a communications guy, amongst other things. If he came to you and asked if he should stop tweeting, what would you advise?
Well, he's not going to stop tweeting. I think it would help if he had someone sort of edit the tweets before they go out. But that's how he communicates. We're in a new era. The old way of communicating like we're doing here today, I mean, we're dinosaurs. It's just, you know, what President Trump has shown and others get, and President Obama to some extent, that the old relationship with media and press and their elected leaders is changing. The old press coverage is changing. Now, elected officials, whether it's President Trump or a senator or a governor or whatever, they can develop their own communication tools to go around you guys. And I think that's going to be the wave of the future, and people are going to have to sort out what they hear. You can hold them accountable, but the need for you to communicate their message or their views, that's gone the way of the buggy whip.
Dan Perot is a longtime Michigan government and policy professional, former chief of staff for Governor John Engler. He returns to the state capitol in 2017 as chief of staff for incoming Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. Dan Perot, great to talk to you.
Good to talk with you, and good luck with your program and the rest of the year. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. We've got Live Music Friday here. Phil Denny is on sax today performing some Christmas songs, and we're ready to hear another one. A classic, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Here's Phil Denny. Saxophonist Phil Denny performing live this morning here in Studio S on Current State on WKAR. Songs of the season here from Phil for the rest of the hour. We'll also learn more about next month's Gallery Suite Jazz Series, which is the fifth time around for this event, and Phil is at the center of that event. Lots more to talk about with Phil Denny and more music to hear before the hour is through here on Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. It takes an exceptional career in sports to be called a Hall of Famer. Right now, we're going to hear from just such a man. Michigan State's men's basketball coach Tom Izzo was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame this past summer. During his induction speech, he acknowledged his late father, Carl Izzo, who passed away at the age of 90 during the holiday season last year. WKAR's Al Martin got the chance to pick the brain of Coach Izzo here this week, who this time of year is remembering his late father.
Tom, how are you doing, my man?
Not as good as you, the way it sounds, but I'm doing good, Alan. I really am.
Tom, I want to start with it being the holiday season. We're going to start fluffy here, then kind of get into the X's and O's and the nitty-gritty as the interview goes on. I want to start with the holiday season. What do you hope to give to Michigan State men's basketball fans this year?
Well, I do hope to give them a lot because I think they expect a lot, and rightfully so. I think we're still trying to live up to what we try to do every year, and that's compete for a championship. You know, it's been thrown a few monkey wrenches so far this year, you know, a few things that we've had to deal with, but I think we're starting to deal with them better, and I think our team's getting a little better, and this holiday season is going to be a time, even though we don't get the normal amount of time to work because of the Big Ten schedule being crunched in there, very important time for us.
Tom, I gotta know, is Christmas your favorite time of the year? Is this your favorite holiday?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I love Christmas and I love the, you know, family and all that stuff. But this one's a little harder because we have to bring the kids back on Christmas Eve day, and then practice a couple times Christmas Day, and then we leave for Minnesota the day after. So schedule hasn't been real fun as far as to enjoy Christmas, but we will get a lot of time with our players, and I'll get some time with my family.
And speaking of family, Tom, this will be the first Christmas without your father. I have to know, around this time of the year, with that being said, how much has he been on your noggin this time of the year?
You know, it is something that you think about, although you think about it every day. That's one thing I learned that people told me would happen, and in different ways, you know, some sad, some great, some fun, a lot of different emotions, because everything you do throughout the year, you kind of remember. I was just talking to my mother, who was here the other day, and we said, God, it's hard to believe it's almost been a year. And so time passes. I don't think it heals necessarily. It just gives you a better perspective on things.
When it comes to your pops, you know, one thing that you've noted since his passing especially is that one of the greatest gifts he gave you was your work ethic. And Tom, I love going to your practices just like us other media members as well, because we get to see you at work. We get to see what this program has become over the years, what you've built this program into. I have to know, Tom, with that being said and keeping in account your work ethic, what drives you to strive to be the best at what you do?
You know, I got a bunch of things that drive me, you know. Making sure I live up to what he taught me is probably first and foremost. You know, Judd Heathcote, you know, I was wanting to make him proud, wanting to make my own family and my own kids understand what you have to sacrifice and do to be a champion. I mean, there's a difference between winning games and being a champion. But I found myself now caring more about two factors, Michigan State University and what we'd like to get done for Michigan State. You know, get a third national championship, bring more positive advertising for this great place that I work at, and the players themselves. Finding a way to see guys work to live to reach their goals. And when you see a guy, whether it be graduating, becoming an All-American, sitting in the green room with Denzel or Gary Harris or Adrian Payne, and watching a Bryn Forbes, you know, maybe didn't have a chance and now he's on a roster. Those almost make me feel better for other people than anything I could do that makes me feel better for myself.
I want to get to your team now. Not too much. I don't want to dive too much into the injuries, but I have to ask, Tom, with Big Ten play on the horizon, how have you tried to keep the boat afloat when it comes to those injuries? I know it's been a tall task for you.
Well, I think the tallest was last week, you know, when I sat on the bench and I sat next to Miles and Matt McQuaid. This was in the pregame warm-up. Mm-hmm. And the other side of me was Gavin and Ben Carter. And I said to my assistant, Dwayne Stevens, when I went back in the locker room, I said I was just sitting with four starters, potentially. And it kind of gave me a perspective on where we are that I didn't want to like. I didn't like the perspective. But what I've tried to do is tell them the goal is to get better every day. We got to make some improvements. There's some things that we can control, and there's things we can't control. We can control better conditioning. We can control better free throw shooting. We can control better ball movement. We can't control the injuries. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I've tried to look at it.
You look at a player like Miles Bridges, who you hope to have back soon. It's been so cool to see Miles, and you've mentioned this in your postgame pressers, to see Miles on the bench because he is seeing the game from now a different lens than just going out there and playing on the hardwood. What has that done for his development and growth for and potential, looking at how already good he is as a freshman?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, you know, and I'm glad you've observed that because we told him when he started he has to sit up by us. I want him to hear when I'm mad at a player, when I'm happy with a player, when I don't think a player is doing something right, when I think he's doing something wrong. Last week we gave him a notebook.
He's got one of these now,
yeah,
guys.
So he's got to write things down that he sees. And he's been great. I love Miles because Miles has been the blue-collar superstar, as I call him. You know, he's not overly entitled. I don't know if it was his family coming up, if it's him as a person. I can't take any credit for that because that's what I got when I got him. Mm-hmm. And thank God I got him that way, especially when you look at the injury and everything. But I think he is a better player. I think he will be a better player if he learns. You know, one time after a game, he said, man, coach, this guy's not doing this very good and that very good. And I said, did you observe that? He said, yeah. I said, did you hear us talking about it? He said, yeah. I said, did you agree? He said, yeah. I said, well, 2 weeks earlier, we were talking about you that way. And,
really?
And he's laughed like you did. Yeah. And he says, I got you, coach.
Nice. I love it. That's a great story. Now, when it comes to Miles, he's so good. He's so young. I have to know, Tom, is he the most athletic player that you've coached?
I think he's the most powerful. Mm-hmm. He and Shannon Brown are the most powerful. I'm not sure you can go past Jason Richardson as
Jason was pretty athletic, right?
Athletic. although the three of them together could clean a lot of backboards.
How high is Miles Bridges' ceiling?
Oh, I think it's off the charts because he has the 230-pound body. He has the strength. Right. He's got a basketball IQ. So he's not Draymond Green or Denzel Valentine, but he's got a very good basketball IQ. Better shooter than I thought. Just has to learn to become a better defender, learn to be a better offensive rebounder, like a Charlie Bell or like a, Jason Richardson was so good at that. So I think the good part for me is I can take pieces of different guys I've coached. He's so talented and so athletic. I hope to make him part of every one of those guys that were great in their area and put it all into one with him. And I really believe that's what he wants. I know that's what I want. And it's going to be fun seeing if we can do it.
Final question for you. Down the road at Spartan Stadium, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, will be doing his end of year press conference. And I want you to just briefly comment on what has happened this season for the MSU football team. And is it a reminder to every coach out there and everyone involved in athletics that, hey, no year is guaranteed and the slope is slippery? And does that grind ever burn you out, Tom?
No, that's the grind that keeps me going.
Right.
Because I did learn that, too, in my career a couple of times, where maybe it didn't go too slippery, but I think, you know, you look at certain things that are, you know, we call them the perfect storms. A bunch of injuries, you lose your quarterback, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And he probably won't look at it that way, but I looked at that offensive line at times. I looked at those D-backs at times. I looked at the two games we played with two or three of our starting linebackers out. And you're not gonna be as good when that happens. You hope to survive those right. games. We've survived some. We haven't survived some ourselves. But in Mark's case, what I feel comfortable and good about, there's been a foundation built. There's been a first floor built. Now we're trying to build the rest of the house, and that's going to take time, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a 5-year. He started it. The last 4 or 5 years have been pretty good around here. And, you know, little blip in the radar here, but I have no worries that he'll continue to march forward. He'll learn from this. We'll figure out the few things that went wrong. And I think maybe the one thing that we all have to fear a little bit more today than you did 10 years ago or 20 or 30, because of the social media, because of all the information out there, confidence becomes a big factor in sports. You know, you win a couple games, everybody's talking how good you are, then you got to worry about being overconfident, but at least you're feeling good. But you lose a couple games in this day and age. You know, if we watch regular news, it's 80% negative, 20% positive. If you got on Twitter and stuff, and you don't really understand how much that affects an 18, 19, or 20-year-old. So right. am I coming up with injuries as excuse? A Twitter as an excuse, this is an excuse, and take it whatever way you want to. I'm just giving you the reality of what you have to deal with. And I will say this in closing. I don't know many guys that I think are more solid and stable than Mark D'Antonio. But it's hard on especially players. They don't handle those things as easily. And I think confidence will be something and focusing back on what is the task, what is the goal, get rid of the noise, and let's go get something done.
Tom Izzo, Hall of Fame head coach for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome, man.
You got it.
It's Current State here on 90.5 WKAR, live music Friday, and on saxophone today, Phil Denny performing some Christmas music for us. Let's hear another track. This is The First Noel. Thank you. Phil Denny live in Studio S here on Live Music, Friday the 1st, Noel. Phil Denny of Lansing, second time around here on Live Music Friday. I'm looking down the list of recent accomplishments here. You played at Baker's Keyboard Lounge in Detroit last weekend. You've got a single right now on the Billboard Jazz charts, and it's the number one weekly single on Sirius XM Watercolors, Channel 66. You played at the Hyatt Regency Newport Beach Jazz Festival back earlier in the year. You seem to be thriving. How does that feel?
It feels great. You know, I've said years ago when I set out to do this full time, which was back in roughly 2010, late 2010, 2011, that, you know, it was just going to be kind of a passion project and hadn't really saw myself or visioned myself as a career musician. And, you know, it all started here in the Lansing area. And I've got to send a big, big shout out to all the local fans for supporting me along the way. And I had lunch with Marcus Miller on the Smooth Jazz Cruise. And I said, how does someone like myself branch out and really become discovered and work within this industry and become successful? And that was one of the things he mentioned, was to really, you know, start from within and build your radius from your hometown and sell CDs out of your trunk if you need to. And people actually still do that. So it's been a great experience. I'm having a lot of fun. I typically see people at the best part of their day, and life is good.
Next month, you've got an event here that's it's the fifth time around for the Gallery Suite Jazz Series. This kicks off January 20th at Lafee Gallery in downtown Lansing. Remind our listeners what happens at this get-together.
Sure. You know, so a couple of years back, I decided, you know, I was doing various things around town, and what I identified was we really need an outlet for the adult listener that really values a true entertainment experience, a glorified listening party, if you will. So I partnered with Tiffany Marie at the Lafee Gallery in downtown Lansing, and she was really excited about it, and now we're stepping into our fifth season. We've hosted international talent from all over the world, and it's kind of an underground experience. As I mentioned, it's a listening experience where we showcase a individual artist, a performing artist, in most cases who has a recording career, a traveling profession as a musician. We feature them. I host the event. I sit in with the artist. We typically have musicians from Detroit back the artist if they're not coming with their own group. And it's just a great experience. Typically, it's a 90-minute show. It's a ticketed event. We do beer and wine, and it's a black linen candlelit table. It's a very exclusive audience. It's a pre-sale event, and we've celebrated 40 shows, and 39 of those shows have sold out in advance of the performance.
Sounds like great fun. The Gallery Suite Jazz Series, this is January 20th, Friday. That's a Friday at Lafee Gallery in downtown Lansing. Let's hear another song here. Can you play another one for us?
Absolutely.
I think I've got Do You Hear What I Hear on my list. Let's hear that. Here's Phil Denny on Current State's Live Music Friday. Thank you. Phil Denny, live in Studio S on Current State's Live Music Friday. Do you hear what I hear? Phil Denny here with us. You're as busy organizing events as you are performing. We heard about the Gallery Suite Jazz Series next month here just a minute ago, but I see you are busy organizing the inaugural Phil Denny Armory Smooth Jazz Fete coming up in August. Tell us what that's about.
That's correct. As I mentioned earlier, I've been performing and traveling and kind of watching and learning and always a student, of course, of music. But what I've discovered is that there's still very much a yearning for live music experiences. And sort of following the platform of various festivals around the country that I've experienced and performed at, I wanted to bring what we consider a new, fun, hip, and cool experience to an East Side community that's really burgeoning and up and coming, and sort of bridge the gap between East Lansing and Lansing, and sort of also go back in time to reflect on what the Armory once served as a civic outlet for live music and quinceañeras and various events and so forth. So the revitalized Armory is really a kind of a hidden gem in the center of Lansing. And the beautiful lawn is just an ideal backdrop, I think, for a great outdoor event. So I decided to kind of take and pull from the learning experience and bring an all-day outdoor event to Lansing, Michigan next August 12th.
That will be Phil Denny's Armory Smooth Jazz Fete, August 12th of next year. We'll point out a lot sooner than that. You're still scheduled to perform. You got a performance before Christmas here still. The 22nd, you'll be at the Mendel Performing Arts Center in Benton Harbor. That a Christmas show, I take it?
That is a Christmas show. Okay. It's hosted by my friend Brian Lubeck. Also features a great vocalist out of Chicago, Megan McNeil. And the holiday theme for the night is Rejoice, a holiday music tapestry. So certainly looking forward to that, to celebrating the spirit of the holiday season with my friends and the people that attend the event.
Even non-jazz fans know the name, the Newport Beach Jazz Festival.
Sure. Sure.
And you performed there. It's the Hyatt Regency Newport Beach Jazz Festival back earlier this year. You did a lot of other traveling in 2016, but that's like a famed venue.
And, it's one of those things, I think, and believe that it just comes as a result of hard work. And for a couple seasons, I found myself out in California performing and networking and shaking hands with the right people, and identified the booking agent for the event, and introduced myself and shared my story and kept in touch. And, just kind of through persistence and him identifying that I have a following out there, and also kind of an up-and-coming, if you will, in the smooth jazz format, they gave me an opportunity to perform this past summer. And we had a great time. It's a wonderful festival, a great platform for someone like myself.
And as if all of this were not enough, you are planning to record your fourth CD this winter for an anticipated 2017 release. What goes
That's
into
correct.
That? Are you writing songs right now, or are you going to be doing covers, or what?
Yeah, writing songs. Most of, if not all of the work, with the exception of the holiday CD, The Messenger, have been original works. So, yes, always writing, always developing and being creative. Typically what happens for me is just I find myself in kind of a zone, if you will, and I just focus on what it is at hand, and if at the time it's either producing a show or recording, I just kind of fall into that realm and just put myself 100% into it. So that
not a multitasker then?
Well, yeah, I guess you have to be, but I very much like goals and objectives. Yeah. So once I put my mind on something, that I just want to focus in on it.
Well, I've heard it said you can get more done by doing one thing at a time than you can by multitasking. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not the person to ask. We want to thank Phil Denny for the great live music here today. Phil's going to play us out here after I say goodbye to our listeners here. Today is our last live weekday show here on WKAR, but we will return as a weekend program. Be listening for us Saturday, January 7th here on WKAR. The program will air Saturdays and Sundays. I'm going to return to local hosting duties on All Things Considered. Many, many thanks to everybody who's tuned in the show and supported it over the past 4 years. It's not going away. It's just going to the weekends. Our executive producer is Peter Wharf. Kevin Lavery directed today. One last thanks to Scott Pohl, Katie Cook, Jamie Paisley, Brooke Allen, and to Drew Hill. And Phil Denny plays us out. Happy holidays to everyone, and we'll see you soon. Phil, thank you for being here.
Thank you.